Well,
most of those houses didn't have mortgages at all, and now they're all going to have mortgages. Because no, the government is not going to replace a $70,000 house with a $150,000 house.
So let's take the gold plating. Look, Ed, your slide on the market trends and the stats said lots of people are going to want this, it's a good thing, et cetera. But the application of that across the board said all of it has to be this way. Fair housing.
Yeah.
It's four or more. That may be the Miami elevator code, too.
Unbelievable problem there. know, we only have 20 minutes left. So what, and enforcement and understanding. And I mean, if even right here, people who've worked with it for many, many years have problems. We really have to look at the big picture and where we're going next on this, because there's the issue of regulations, the issue of federal versus local, and the building code and the civil rights law and the lawsuits and the murkiness of it all. Very, very common shared principles and goals here. Very common. And yet we are not able to move forward. And you ask one simple question on a listserv and 500 people are angry. No, we have to actually get at the root of this and see how can we, what is it, you guys? And maybe Brewster, you know, hold on, Ed. Brewster, actually, from the AARP, maybe has a large, your arms around the bigger picture and looking at both sides or all sides. What is it that AARP, CNU, the accessibility advocates could do to move this forward and resolve these issues? Because we could talk forever about this is how you make a ramp, and this is too much, this is going to cost too much. Let me hear some. Brewster, give me your thoughts. Microphone, I'm sorry, no one can hear in the back. Hate these. I'm sure you're talking about the wineries, the buildings themselves.
The wineries are actual slopes of the land.
The wineries.
The slope of California, the slopes of the land of California, you know, it's hilly out there. Is it all 112? Is it wine?
When people say vineyards of California, they mean wineries. Costs.
Well, Brewster,
right. We need to move into action.
Okay, I'm going to
ask
you.
So, what would that be?
Since I never, I actually exaggerate, ever. I think the idea that broad move from yes, there were abuses and yes, there were bad things that happened, that limited access and everything else, to we will now run to an absolute ideal standard by which this stuff is for real and serious and the feds will sue you. Somewhere in the middle is where normal humans would probably want to live. And the members of AARP are probably mostly normal humans. I think you probably have a few trial lawyers in there just to troll for clients. But for the most part, the idea that we would like to be able to age in place, we'd like to be able to have some choices in our housing and everything else. So in circumstances where the earth has not complied with 1 on 12 and we have to mangle it into shape, the cost of doing that is going to exclude some other folks. But in the end, we might have a gold-plated, you know, nice and flat 1 on 12 ramp kind of environment, which can only be afforded by a very small number of people. So I think that by what we've seen and seen you before, if it's a narrow interest, like the traffic engineers, or a specific environmental constituency that isn't looking at a larger system or the like, we get jammed up. And the problem becomes, you know, the absoluteness of the standard. But what we find solutions is when we say, okay, look, you know, nobody is going to get everything, but everybody's going to get a lot. Is that worth pursuing? Can we agree that that's a principle?
Let's
and we go forward on that basis.
Andres has a comment. Right, right, right. Okay, so how do we how do these propose? Lay out the steps. Okay, there we go. Draw them.
Four or more.
The Fair Housing Act only applies to four or more buildings with four or more immigrants. So the visitability movement is addressing the lack of housing that's accessible in the 1-3 unit building.
Okay, so I'm right. My consultant said it's 1-3. You said four or more 1-3.
Same thing.
So the point is that there's this issue over here about.
We need a diagram for that. That's an exaggeration.
Oh, there you go. Touche.
But there are a lot of communities that are being built without any single family housing. Now, the other side is the code issue and whether they're not flexible enough. They are dealing with a prototype of a building that is not down on the ground, is not really the way things are built.
Well, Ed, I would be curious. When you get to the point of...
That's another task force, right? Let me just say one more thing. It's got to be knowledge-based. You can't go proposing that we should have one-day grants if you don't know what the implications of a one-day grant are, because you get sued if you build a one-day grant. Because what happens is if Eleanor on her scooter goes down a one-day grant, she'll hit the bottom, and bottom up, tip over. So we have to be knowledge-based. You can't build a
And could you talk about, we have 10 minutes left, could you talk about what you would propose as the first step?
Well, I just want to finish my sentence. The point is that wheel mobility devices are more diverse now, and have actually gotten bigger, and the people, as you know, our whole population has gotten bigger. So don't jump into changing the codes without looking at the knowledge base.
Well,
Okay.
All right, you guys, what would the first step be then, Ed, on your proposal with Bruce, what to move this forward together?
I have a lot of proposals. I don't know how many the CNU is willing to take on at one time. First, I think we ought to do a pattern work or some type of guidance with regard to the 1-3 family unit building. And then I think we need to look at how the Congress and New York urbanism can get a seat at the table. I've said this on the listserv, get a seat at the table in the development of the accessibility codes and standards. And I can help with that, and Eleanor can help with that, and others probably can too. We need to get the disability advocacy groups here to have the dialogue so that they can learn about the benefits of new urbanism and that they can understand the issues that you all have. And I've started to try to do that. One of the leading organizations is the Disability Rights Education Defense Fund, and I have a personal friend who's one of the point people for their work in litigation, and she sits on the standards committees and so forth. And I've talked to her, and I've said, you guys got to get involved with the urbanist movement, and you got to get involved with thinking about the urban realm, because they're focusing too much on the building and not thinking about the bigger picture.
What about not having these groups go off in little task force? I mean, they could do that as well. But what about doing some national charrette on this, like maybe sponsored by the AARP? Very similar to what was going on in Mississippi, where you actually, this is a national issue. And what happens is task force go off, and they go into the ether, and you hear back. And by the time you get that pattern book back, the mobility devices change and what I would actually like, but we can't go too much into detail, we're only a minute left, but you guys can hear things from the audience that we can't hear. We're kind of in the thick of it. So if any problem solvers, I'd actually like you to shout out your ideas for what we could do for the next step. Steve, go ahead. And I'm going to read what Nathan handed.
Attach units. There actually are solutions out there. Bruce, I'm just kind of drawing up Bruce's notion on the attach unit side of getting the ramp up. And the key is, how do you bring it along the face of the building so that the building remains beautiful, and that you don't have the whole ramp, the whole railing condition along there. So if you have an upper garden and then the lower light court, that actually can be made to be a beautiful thing where the frontage is not damaged at all. The Katrina Cottage we did in Washington, D.C., which, because we were wanting to work with you guys and engage on that, we actually figured out the condition there, where what you do here is a switchback ramp. You come up at the front. See, that's the whole problem. We've never been able to come in at the front and not damage the porch condition. But if you can actually come in at the same point, off the same front gate, switchback ramp, you end up right at the edge of the porch. That solves our design problem. Okay.
And to me, this is why everybody needs to be in the same room at the same time, very much like a charrette. Right. Okay, and I'm going to read one this comment, and then I'll let you guys shout out. Why can't AARP and CNU develop a joint statement of principles that advocates community/neighborhood access agenda, similar to LEED-ND and ITE models? This is, I mean, we always devolve into construction details at this level. Okay. Yes, sir. You have to talk loud, and I'll try to repeat it. Uh-huh, the 1-3.
Regulations, not creating architectural, some kind of a thought process where 99.5%
I wish I could paraphrase that. This is the kind of creativity that's really needed. So instead of, yes, thank you very much. I'm sorry I can't repeat the whole thing. She had her hand up, and then I'll go to you, ma'am. In Sweden, from the back. The woman right behind you, John, and then you. Yes, ma'am. Repeating it. Mm-hmm. Thank you, ma'am. And go ahead, Ed, and then we'll go to John Norquist.
This
thank you, ma'am.
These are what are called cross-sectional statistics, like she said, on any given day. If you look at longitudinal statistics, we might get a very different picture. And then the other thing to think about is everybody's a member of a family or a member of a household.
Right.
So, you know, you have to divide by the average number of people in a household, and you'll see that each household is impacted significantly
right.
more than we think. You add in
Andres, it's a little bit like a developer wants to get permits by right, and that's how somebody who is in a disability situation, they don't want to feel like they have to ask somebody else every time they turn around.
Yeah.
Not that a little, even with the most draconian laws you can imagine, the help factor would still end up being part of the equation anyway. But what the point I wanted to make is the process for CNU, we cannot completely resolve the issue to the satisfaction of John's concern that, John, you sounded like Israel when they're talking about the Palestinians, the guy in Damascus who doesn't sign the pact might violate the pact, so then there's never a pact. And I probably shouldn't have brought that in. I'll get in trouble with somebody on one side or the other, but there are probably people, you could call them extremists or strongly held belief, that will not buy in and aren't going to be the part of the process. But we're not going to be the place where it's finally, ultimately, totally settled as far as the government. But what we can do, and I think we need to do it, in order to avoid the catastrophe of a one-size-fits-all law imposed by the federal courts, or the Congress, either one would be just as bad. We need to act with urgency to implement in the dialogue of new urbanism, in the language of new urbanism, that we have this included. I'll give you an example, one very emotional. Eleanor Smith and her group in Atlanta went after one of our most beloved members with Glenwood Park. The grand opening, wonderful, everybody's ready, this beautiful new urbanist development, and who shows up spitting in the punch bowl but Eleanor Smith. And I, when I heard about it, I first said, that Eleanor, ugh, well, she did it again. What's going on? But then I went and met with her. I was there for a green building conference. I tried to avoid her phone call, but finally I took it. I went with her. She showed me the site. What happened? There's an alley on the top end of the development, and it would have been very easy to have an accessible door in the back or in the garage. She didn't care which one. But instead, there was a step up. And this was done by people that really want to do the right thing. They're not just craven developers. Sure, they're, everyone's a craven developer as a developer. You have to be in order to make any money. But they actually did want to do the right thing. And instead, there's a step up. Okay, so it's implementation. It's an implementation issue. With urgency, we need to have examples where good new urbanism is built with visibility, not a mandated front door, like Steve's been doing. He's been drawing, trying to find ways. He's convinced now that he can do a doorway that's big enough to satisfy Eleanor. If we start doing that over and over and it becomes repeated and it becomes part of our language and part of our code, Andres has put it in the smart code, so it's in there. But then when we do think, when we build things, we have examples so that when we come back next year, we can say, listen, you crabby accessibility people, here, 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 here. If we have enough examples, then all of a sudden a smile will start to appear on their faces. We won't convince everybody. There'll still be somebody in the corner. There'll be some person in Berkeley that is unreasonable, that wants to put you out of business. But maybe Eleanor won't and the rest of it. And they come to this meeting over, they come to us because we have been in dialogue with them, but we need to produce.
Well, okay, so we'll get some critical mass on projects on the ground, and we can point to those. And there will still be folks that say, you guys are all about front porches. It screws up accessibility. You're a bunch of fascists who don't appreciate
it. If you want to have universal approval, there's only one way that'll happen.
That well, I'll be dead, but, you know.
Yeah, when you're dead, you're in heaven, yes. And they'll have the just the perfect environment up there, and no one will ever say a bad word to you again. But as long as you're on Earth, there's always going to be somebody out there dissing you. You just got to live with it.
So we build the good stuff. We have the good codes and the like. But I take the visibility stuff forward to our city, and I want it incorporated in our project. And the city attorney at the city level says, no, we're not going to put that in there. We already have too much liability surrounding other access issues. So I think that, you know, while we get it in the smart code and while we pitch it every time and it goes for local adoption, that's one of the pieces that, you know, gets the axe. Okay, but if this happens in an environment where you have opportunity costs, where you're going to go mess with it or you're going to go do something else, lots of other developers and builders are going to go and stay the hell away from it because it's too messy.
Okay, Eleanor wants to make a comment. She's got the microphone there.
What I would say to CNU is pick the low-hanging fruit. Do the easy situations. The low-hanging fruit is not being picked because I drive around and see what's being built under the name of new urbanism. Easy situations are being omitted over and over and over and over again. If you want to talk more about picking the low-hanging fruit, which covers a huge amount of what can be done on new construction, enough that would make me certainly very happy, and I'm not the only face of access, I'm the only one who comes here again and again. My suggestions are really, really reasonable. I'll dialogue with anybody about it. But if you want to talk more about changing what is being done on the ground and picking the low-hanging fruit, doing the easy situations, I'm very up for talking about it, and I especially invite everyone interested to the accessibility visitability lunch, which is going to take place on Saturday.
Any other comments from the audience? Wow, okay. Stand up and talk loud or come on up here. We'll go over a few minutes. Make it as quick as possible.
I just, as someone, I'm Ray Gindros from Urban Design Associates. We've been interacting with Eleanor in Concrete Change for something like 8 or 9 years. I just want to share one aspect of this with you. The design part, challenging though it is the easy part. For years, we've been putting in our drawings zero-step entries from either the rear or the middle of the blocks on our designs. I would have to say, in the session yesterday, Eleanor, one of the slides presented was one of our projects as a bad example because it had steep steps going up to the front door. It's a project that was designed to have zero-step in the back but didn't get it, because in the implementation, in the construction phase, it got out of whack. I'd have to also say that at CNU, we've had sessions like this almost every year for a number of years. This is the first time we've had a big audience. Typically, it's a very small group of specialists. So whether it's the pressure of the pro-herb list or the fear of lawsuits, suddenly we have a galvanized group of people doing something that we've been talking about for years. And it's important for us to get this pattern book, not for the designers only, but so that in the implementation process, it becomes second nature as we move forward. So I thoroughly endorse what's happening here.
Great, thank you. Ray, stand here for a second. We do have to close, but if a pattern book were to be prepared, what is the process of doing that, and who would be included in that? You would recommend?
Well, there is an initiative, right? Affordability Accessibility Initiative that's underway here. We have a group, Eleanor, Ed. I think that group, 3 or 4 people need to get together, Bruce Donnelly, Steve Muzan, need to get together and do it. And then we'll use the proverb list and every list, get material, get it in, produce it. And I would propose to the board, we'd all propose to the board that we make this a major product of new urbanism in the next year.
Thank you, Ray. Okay. Do we have to stop now, John? We're past our time, huh? Anyone else? Any more comments from the panel?
I've got a quick thing I just want to toss out. You have probably heard of this.
Okay. Thank you.
The efforts to work together and to make more introductions more representation of people with disabilities. I think it would be great if either AARP or some other organization would be more appropriate for members.
Let me hear from John and Andreas their thoughts about going forward with AARP.
Well, I think that going forward with AARP would be constructive, and I think we can come up with enough of the common language for the low-hanging fruit that Eleanor described. But I don't want to take our eye off the idea that we still have a really distorted enforcement system that, while we can bring up the base at that kind of apex of it's consequential, you're out of business, it's consequential, you have to pay attention to this instead of that.
To me, the only way, Brewster, that I think you'll get full participation from the new urbanists is if these kinds of issues are addressed during it. It can't just be an afternoon. You know, it has to be a week-long charrette and whatever. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay, just a second. Andreas, what are your thoughts on this? Microphone, sorry.
Didn't want to bother his son. Take him someplace. He was actually another life of death.
So would there be a group? Okay, but you want to solve it. What would you do? I mean, we keep talking round and round. It wouldn't be worthwhile to do something then at the national level? Do you think then it wouldn't be worthwhile to do something at the national level? I see. I mean, okay. Okay, yep. We're actually at the end of our time. Is there something that all four of you here sitting at the table, you represent a lot of interests. I know it's just the four of you. Is there anything that all four of you together could commit to in the next year before the next CNU?
Oh, we're all really irritated with you the way you moderated this thing.
Sorry, but, sorry. Yeah.
Would you all come to a conference if we organized it and got AARP and CNU to be
co-sponsored? Yeah, I think we need to look at how we scope it. Yeah.
A conference?
Yeah.
Who is sponsoring it, Ed? Come to California.
Yeah.
Is that?
Well, I think it's good that we've been able to move the point of disagreement over ramps and the like to a disagreement about where we'd have the conference.
Okay, name yeah. Three cities.
Okay, so...
Three cities.
Yeah.
And who would sponsor the conference?
AARP, and I think I could offer to host the conference.
Uh-huh.
Yep. Well, to Eleanor's point for a moment, the idea of identifying the low-hanging fruit and getting a lot of enthusiasm and push behind it, that may come as like the release valve when you confront them with the really hellacious big problem, and which way you say, oh, we can't solve that. Well, okay, we're all together in the low-hanging fruit. Let's go get a bunch of it done. So I think we can do both, and I think the idea that we do it in a place where you can see the good, the bad, and the ugly. I mean, Washington and the Maryland suburbs have as many examples of the good and the bad. We could go to the Kentlands and see places where we should have had zero step.
What would be a good month to hold this conference? Take 3 months or 4 months to put it together? September in New Orleans or Washington, D.C.?
Washington, D.C.
Okay. 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 Okay.
All right.
6 to 8 months, we've got a conference. AARP is helping to sponsor it. Thank you, everybody, for hanging in there.